teacher. I thought there's still going to be some questions for Mr. Mutiba. I'm surprised.
Can you continue?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll do so. Chair, the presentation is designed such that at the top right corner there's a page number for use of reference. So if I'm saying page one, it's right at the top right corner of the presentation. Was the slide maybe arranged differently? I'll swiftly go to page four, just to highlight that our mandate is coming from the Constitution, section 27, about adequate social security net to protect vulnerable workers. And maybe swiftly, Chair, move then to slide eight. On slide eight, Chair, the emphasis here, Chairperson and members, is that UI performance, so that we can drive performance information and a clean audit in the performance information space, is audited by internal audit every quarter. As you can see in the next slide, on slide 11, as an example, that all indicators are audited by internal audit, including the targets that we've missed. So even the red ones on that page, you can see they were audited, and only one was found to be unsatisfactory, which we're able to address in the follow-up process. The intention there, Chair, is that by end of the year, we don't want to have performance information issues, and that's why we address them on a quarterly basis. On page 13, one of the recommendations made by internal audit was that we need to integrate risk management in our processes, which will enable us to be able to pick up if there's a risk of missing a target, or if, for example, missing a particular target could constitute an emerging risk, either in a form of service delivery or UIF not being able to meet its financial obligations because we're not collecting enough contributions. So we integrated risk management in our processes to be audited on a quarterly basis. Going straight to slide number 16, here is just a reflection of how we performed for quarter three as compared to the first two quarters. You can see in the first quarters we're sitting at 63% and improved by 6% in quarter three. I just want to go straight then to the areas that we've missed, which is like 18. The first one is the reduced vacancy rate. Our target for that quarter was 11%. At the time we were sitting at 12.46. The main driver for us to be sitting at that percent share was as we appoint people internally, people then move inside the organization. So we're getting more people promoted inside the organization than getting new people from outside. And that's why our target was sitting at 12.46%. The next two, the first one is the provincial side. We wanted to introduce free Wi-Fi in all the labor centers across the country. At the time at quarter three, we're still finalizing the appointment of the service provider. But I can confirm now that the service provider has been appointed, and by end of September, we should have all the labor centers with free Wi-Fi to enable people to access Department of Employment and Labor Services with ease. The next one also was a delay on appointment of the service providers. I think here the view of the department was we want to appoint one service provider to deal with all the SEP issues for the department, and that's what we're doing at that point in time, and also to create a separate journey for the department and have an alignment across the department on what you're doing for SEP. And that's why at that time we had pressed pause to allow for an integrated approach to our SEP issues. And page 21, Chair, we had missed a target marginally on percentage of application with complete information issued with compliance certificate. Here it was an administrative issue in that most institutions applied for compliance certificate were not compliant. As a result, there was more work that needed to be done to bring them up to speed to be compliant in their winter declarations and also their contributions. And hence the target was missed. And then we decided to rework how our technical indicator is structured so that we are not compromised by the lack of the entity providing the relevant information. Chair, I'd like to move just swiftly to slide number 27. Here, with the leadership of the Director General, just a year ago, we took a bold decision to change our turnaround time from 35 days to 15 days. Unemployment benefits constitute 80% of our benefits. As you can see, our target was 90%. For the quarters in question, we started with 91%, and at the end of quarter three, we were sitting at 96% paid within, processed within 15 days. And the intention is now with the leadership of the Director General is to reduce this and be able to pay within 48 hours. We're automating our processes so that we can improve this area even further. The rest of the information on this slide, Chair, is a reflection of how each province has performed against the target. And even the ones that have dropped, like your example is Limpopo, it moved from 84% in the first quarter and improved to 94%. They just have dropped against their performance with quarter two by 1%, sitting at 94%. But they have not missed their target of 90%, Chair. The rest of the slide, Chair, is an indication of the performance against turnaround time and also the same concept with the previous slide. I'll move swiftly, Chair, to maybe on slide 35, on our performance financially. As at quarter three, 84% of the budget was spent, with certain areas that were of concern, in particular your CAPEX. And our CAPEX is driven in the main by the procurement plan. At this point in time, different items on the procurement plan were at different stages, some of them almost at the point of conclusion. I think, and the other one was on program, on vacancy rate, where we are not spent because, as I explained earlier, that as we appoint in one area, people moved within the department. As a result, our vacancy rate was sitting at the percentage that I mentioned, Chair. I think I'm going to leave it at that, Chair, and maybe allow for questions, then clarify when necessary. That's question I raised. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Baker. Okay.
Go ahead, Madam Chair. Thank you. I just have a few, and I won't be long. Thanks. Obviously, the most obvious question is your incompetent, useless website, which is always offline, and which also then tells me that I get people phoning me every day again saying that your phone lines are never answered. Maybe there's no one there at the office, but it's never answered. You're still not managing queues at the offices, and I remember about 2 years ago explaining that we should maybe follow the example of the CCMA, where you have people who can actually tell people where they should be queuing and what they're doing. I know the DG was going to explore that and maybe get the CCMA to teach you how to run your front office, because it's really bad. Also, I think during this period you were going to bring in the payment for paternity leave, and I think everyone forgot about it. The government went through it, it was passed, it was put out, and now you still can't get paid for paternity leave, so I don't know what's going on. I know that the new minister did promise us the 1st of August. I was holding my breath for the 1st of August, but we've just passed it, so I'm turning blue. I don't know what's going on, but I know it was supposed to be in that period as well. Also, I get many questions from people saying that they come in, they want the pamphlets that you print on what you pay out, how you get paid, your pamphlets, explanation pamphlets. And also here in the Cape, we don't have them in Khoza. We have mostly in English, but we also run out of those pamphlets on the how-to. So maybe you can comment on that. Just in terms of many employers they want their compliance certificates, but they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. There should be some rollout, either in pamphlet form or education to employers. I think we're lacking over there. I do want to give you one big compliment, and give the DG the compliment, is the Edcon disaster, where the UIF managed to avoid a further 250,000 people in the unemployment insurance fund line. So well done on that. It was a bold decision, but a very brave one, and I thank you for that. And then, of course, lastly, I'm still not sure why we had so many people from the department here today. When we had 5 people speaking, and we had a whole group of people that flew down. At one point, I think I counted what was 25 people here. So I'm not sure what, maybe the DG can answer that. Thank you, Madam Chair, I appreciate it.
Will it not be fair, before they respond, now a question to you, will it not be fair? I believe that if you want to address a problem, or your endeavor is to address a problem, it's not important that we don't become general. For instance, if you're saying they are not addressing their issues, where? Is it in an office in Khayelitsha? Is it in PE? Is it in KZN? So that we are able, because when we are, if then you are general, they are not then going to be able to. So I think in moving forward, that is what we are, because I may have a different picture of what is happening in Port Elizabeth. I'm making an example. She may have a different picture of you have got a picture of, if I can accuse you, of even in Western Cape, I can say maybe the picture is only here in Cape Town. I'm just making an example. So I think as we are moving forward, for them to be able to address these challenges, let's be specific rather than being general. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the website in competency. I think, yes, we do acknowledge that the website was a bit slow. I think what we also did indicate when it came to the portfolio committee the last time, Chair, is we are upgrading the ICT infrastructure for the department. The whole of it has been upgraded. And we are expecting that as the system stabilizes and the environment gets stable, we are anticipating that these problems will be of the past. We are expecting the last batch of the infrastructure equipment in the next month, as we were discussing at EXCO last week. They should be coming during the month of September and be installed, that by the 1st of October, infrastructure will be up to date. In terms of the phone lines not being answered, there was a point, I think, around the same time when we had migrated our data center from 94 to an independent site, that there were some uptimes that we encountered during those periods, Chair. And I think the Honourable Buckley may be referring to those times when we are migrating our data center to a new environment. There were some downtimes that we experienced that now we've sorted out. With queue management, Chair, I think you've hit the nail on the head with your comments. Because as a department, we've introduced queue management technology across the labor centers, which we've learned from CCMA, amongst other things. So we've implemented the queue management system where people manning our queues as we speak. Maybe Mr. Bakri may have a different experience in one of the labor centers that I think he can clarify us on, that you can visit. And maybe they don't understand how this technology is working. But at this stage, I'm only, surmising that that's the case. But until we have that case in point where this labor center is struggling, we'll only know that for sure. With the payments of paternity leave, I can confirm, Chair, now that in terms of technological development, we are done. We've done with UAT testing. We've also address the bugs that we've picked up during the testing. Bearing in mind, Chair, that this is a new benefit that we are introducing. We do not want to make mistakes that we go live and people are only able to claim the first few days, and a few days later they're not able to claim. So we had to clear all the system bugs that we've picked up. The process now that we are undergoing is to get the regulations signed off by the Minister and the President and be promulgated. That's the process that follows after the President has signed a law into law. Then you have to undergo the process of the implementation process, which includes the regulations. And that's where we are now. I think when the President signed off, system-wise, we are ready, we've tested, we'll go live. I can just confirm that. UIF documents not in other languages, Chair, will address that. I think the Honourable Buckland has a point there, will address other languages. I think the issue of printing and in some instances where they don't have them. I don't think it's a big issue, Chair, will address that one. Compliance certificate roll out is spot on again, Chair. Will create a communication mechanism to communicate how people can apply. I think also at that time, our compliance certificate will be automated because it should be going live around the 1st of October, if not November. So people can apply online and get their certificates within 4 hours tops once they have all their things uploaded. I'm going to leave the one, the last question, I think is directed to the Director General. And maybe the Director General will add other points that he may want to add. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, but before that, so that you answer this, sorry for that. I always have goosebumps when we're doing everything online and people are responding. There are people that are from areas, there are people that are from urban areas, there are people that are in rural areas. The only thing of technology, the problem is that there is a sector of our communities that is completely, not because of their own making religion, that they are completely isolated and marginalized. And these institutions and these departments, it's their responsibility to ensure that it reaches to those. So can Mr. DG, can you please respond, how are you going to ensure as the department that majority of these entities, if they can, they reach out. If the issue is the capacity and the resources, tell us so that we are then able to see as we're moving forward, how best can we do that. I see it at airport. Go by Nabandabaya airport. Umdu wa say Ngoshua, umdu wa say Toyado, umdu wa say Kumbu, umdu wa kwama Gabe Mahabatini KZN. We have never boarded an airport. How is he or she going to? So that's where my point is.
No, I get it, Chair. Oh, I thought I would start there.
Chair, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Let me start with the last question. Earlier on, I indicated that we have visiting points, we have, we use the local infrastructure that we find in a number of places where ordinarily we don't have offices. We make staff available to go and service those areas. And the campaign of taking services to the people is actually meant to achieve that, making sure that all these areas that we normally don't visit, we touch them as well so that they can benefit from the services that we're offering as a department. So whilst we embracing and leveraging technology to improve efficiencies, we also know that there are areas that will not be, that will be slow in embracing technology, or just because of where they are, they won't be able to embrace technology with the same speed that people in urban areas do. So we've catered for that, for those kinds of situations. Just on the paternity leave, we have agreed with the commissioner that whilst the regulations are very important, and the regulations they simply give effect to what's in the law, we will, if there are applications for paternity leave, we will process them because the system is there, the IT system is there. And we will not wait for the regulations. So we'll do that, and we'd like Honourable Bagrim to test that. If it doesn't happen, then I'll have to deal with the commissioner. The chair, what we often do when we come to appear before the portfolio, the last point on access to services. we always try to, for instance, there are in some areas the services of CCMA are required. So we make our offices available because the CCMA cannot have offices everywhere. So is Productivity South Africa. So we make our offices available so that they can do their work, conciliation and mediation and arbitration, in those offices. And that's how we share, and that's why we share resources. But also the good work done by advice offices in those areas. And that's why we support and fund a number of advice offices using what we call Strengthening of Civil Society Fund, so that those advice offices can continue to be of service to the people in those areas and interface with the department. With regards to the number of people that are here today, and only a handful spoke, we often, you know, try and bring technical people as support to the heads of the institutions, and so that if there are indeed technical questions, I mean, I, for instance, as a DG of the department, I'm not responsible for the day-to-day running of some of the areas and the entities in the department. So that's why you will need a technical person to be there to provide a technical response to a number of questions. It may happen that sometimes they won't speak, but most of the time we try our best to give them, to give them an opportunity to respond. And it's very difficult for us to anticipate what is it that the members would ask. That will require a person with technical knowledge of finance to assist, for instance, Productivity SA, CCMA, or NEDLAC. That's why you find them with their CFOs here, in case that information is required and they wouldn't have a much more better technical understanding. So we've tried to reduce the numbers. You remember our delegation used to be very big, so we've reduced the numbers to only two per entity for that specific reason. Today it looks very bad because all the entities of the department are here and the department itself. But if it was the department here, it would have been few people, but also the support staff of the minister and the deputy minister are also here, and that also gives a distorted picture that we brought a large delegation. I think that would be my response to that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. What is the noise making you scary? No, that's a main road of don't worry. I think we have come to the end of our presentations that are a process of empowering us to have an understanding, and questions are also a process of ensuring that the department is able to see if there are any loopholes, if there are any areas that they may have, if I can use that term, they may have taken for granted. And hoping that with the understanding that the executive, they do have a number of programs with their added mandate, but we thank the members of the executive. I know for a fact that at some other time they may not be both here, but where they can, if they can, we'll appreciate that. I don't think we are to be prescriptive to the department to whom they must bring. I think I must address that, because it's the first time that I picked that up since I became a member of parliament. We circulate an invitation and we say in the invitation, this is what we are expecting, it is their responsibility. Because again, I don't think it will be comfortable if then the teacher said, so-and-so didn't come, and so their team, they are comfortable, and we will monitor that. And as they move on, I think it's on them, it's dependent on them, whom they bring. As long as they don't bring the whole department here and we are in the older center. But the only observation that I have made, which is quite a challenging observation, DM, and I don't know how we are going to address this. We can't have everybody presenting being male. We can't. I don't know how we are going to address that moving forward. That is the observation that I have made, and it's quite a concerning observation to me. And I think also to other members, we don't know how you are going to teaching yourself at the office of the DG, how then you are going to, and I believe in exposure. I believe in people being exposed to these processes, and so I think that it's one thing that we'll have to look into that even within the entities. Honourable members, I think now we are more now being it's quite clearer now on what then is going to be our responsibility in moving forward in ensuring that because this process is also a process of an oversight. The presentation by the department is a process of oversight. As long as we are not, as I've said initially, as long as we are not taking it as them and us, because together we have got a very, very huge responsibility in this country of ensuring that people are exposed, people understand this department. I think members that have raised an issue about the rural areas, it's something that we'll monitor. We will monitor what is happening in our labor centers. We'll monitor DG, the advice offices that are around, if they are still there, and we'll come back to you. We won't wait until you come back again for PRRR. In between that, we will then ensure that we'll look into that. We know DM is not going to be very easy. When we come back, and I think as the minister has said, that the issue of employment, what is entailed? What is this monster that we're talking about? So that we are then able to assist. Because I don't think it ends here for us. We are going to be in our constituency offices. We are going to be interacting with people. We'll interact with your provincial and that's what I want to encourage members. There are regional and provincial structures. When we're not getting joy from those DG as the head of the administration, we'll come to you. But for starters, I want to encourage our members that we're entitled to check, as long as when you go there, you say you are going on behalf of the committee, because you don't have a mandate to do that. But as a public representative, you can go any institution if you want to check. What is important is that we don't create hostile and environment to our in our institutions or industry. I really want to, on behalf of the committee, I want to thank. And we will keep in touch. It has been quite a mammoth day, but for me, I find it to be a learning curve. a learning curve on how then are we going to move forward. As the department and the ministry is leaving, can members just for 5 minutes stay behind for our housekeeping issues? Thank you very much, dear. Okay, and DG. Oh, next week, we're back, 4:15. Remember that we've taken over from A. So next week we're doing 4:15. Today was 3:15. Yes, you are back here next week.